All right, well, we're 3-3, just like last year, so everything's good, right? We're all good. No? Damn. All right, well, let's talk about it. And welcome in, everybody, to episode 133 of Out of Your Falcon Mind, Atlanta Falcons fan cast. My name is John, your host, as always, joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Cottrell. Buddy, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm depressed, man. I've been just watching sad movies with Kleenex, eating chocolate and ice cream. Man, the boys got me down, still out of my Falcon mind as usual.
Welcome. There you go. Yeah, man. And we are joined by Mr. Joe Patrick from 929. The game, you may know him from Five Stripe Final and Dirty South Soccer. Man, what is going on, Joe?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for having me on. I was telling you this before we jumped on, but, you know, as with all the other podcasts I've been on, it's like surreal for me to be on. And I thank you so much for having me because I watch you guys like while I'm, you know, making dinner or, you know, doing something. Sometimes I'll put you on the shower radio or something like that. So it's really fun to get on and chop it up with you. I wish we had something maybe a little bit more uplifting to talk about, but hey, we got to get through these times too, right?
We're probably exactly yeah, man. That's what we do, right? That's what
good
we
to
do.
Have you, buddy.
That's absolutely, man. Yeah, thanks for this. You know, it's funny hearing you say that because it's so much. Probably, I mean, it's awesome to hear you say that, but it's definitely cooler, I think, for us because you know we listen to you on this radio, and we just have another guest on, man. Throughout us doing this has been awesome, so yeah, just really appreciate you coming by, man. And yeah, it's not the greatest of topics, but hey, you know, like you said, it was gotta talk about it. But as always, guys, coming to you here at the In the Clutch Studios from Variety Sports Network. Make sure you use the code Variety Sports at intheclutch.com, and it'll save you some money on anything you want on the site. And check out Variety Sports for any new shows. Like we got actually a couple of new shows. Double Double for any basketball fans. Hoop Southbound's not a new show, but it covers everything SEC basketball. If you're into SEC basketball, they're getting going now. New Sunday Morning Tailgate on VSN. It's kind of like your NFL Live. You know, get you ready for the day's games. Gridiron, talking to Gridiron, kind of recaps the day's game. So they kind of have you covered all the way around, man. Seventh inning stretch for covering the playoffs, which – Braves let us down, guys. The Braves, I mean, I don't even, it was a bad week. Number, I mean, yeah. Let me back up. I want to, thanks to everybody who like sent me like their thoughts and positive thinking after, you know, we lost our family. For those who don't know, we lost our family dog last week. He was 11 and a half. It sucked. If you have a dog, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't have a dog, I can't explain it to you. It's just like, I can just say it's like losing a family member. That's all I can say. Because they become your family, man. And he was amazing. And my 13-year-old, he grew up with him. All of his memories are with him in it. So like, it was just a shitty, shitty week all the way around. And that's why we couldn't do the pregame or the preview show. I was not in the right space to do a show. So, hey, we're getting better though every day. You know, Joe, I appreciate you. You hit me up on Twitter. It's like every day gets better. And it does. You know, it's not the first time I've been through it. It won't be the last time because we'll end up getting a couple more at some point pretty soon as well. But just you know, shout out to everybody for the tweets and messages and everything. That was awesome for you guys. So anyway, I was thinking, well, you know, this week sucked. Well, the Braves will come back and help me out. They didn't help me out. That was the most. I mean, no, I don't want to get off on the Braves, but man, come on. Like 8 runs in 4 games, the most prolific offense we've ever seen in this. Joe, what'd you think, dude? Like it was.
And it was like, you know, it just crazy because you saw the Braves obviously like roll through the entire season. And then it's like they're the better team for like 3 of the 36 innings that were played. You know, it's like just brutal. Just brutal. And when you go through all that, you know, over the course of a baseball season, baseball's so damn long. I used to cover the Braves when I first started in 1999. It was four Braves coverage. And I was fortunate to see them actually have some success in the playoffs. But man, it's been too long.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, I was on seventh inning stretch here on this Friday Sports with some of the guys throughout the year. And I kept telling them, I was like, man, look, my biggest worry is that we're going to have this amazing season and get bounced in the first round. And then just looked terrible.
Felt like the team had that worry too. It was almost like they came in like feeling the pressure, feeling like they had to, you know, replicate what they had done in the regular season. That's hard to do in the playoffs.
definitely felt like they were pressing. And I don't know if, you know, look, the Dodgers got swept. I don't know if the week off makes a difference or not. I mean, it seems like it does affect some teams. It doesn't affect some teams, but I mean, I would like to see just maybe either one more playoff team or just let them ride right into it. Like, don't even give anybody a week off. Just put the top seed, play the bottom seed, and y'all go at it, you know. But either way, I mean, you know, it sucks. But, you know, we definitely – and what sucked, what was crazy is, I don't know about you, but I was more worried about the starting pitching than anything. And then that was the least of our concerns. We couldn't score any runs. So, yeah that's just – yeah. So, anyway, you know, college football Saturday was fun. That was a good day to watch. But you know, but then Sunday I was like, all right, well, maybe the Falcons will come around and, you know, we'll get this win on Sunday. And, you know, I was up for anybody on this all on Twitter. I was up at 5 a.m. We had to be in the McDonough. I live in North Cobb. So anybody that knows that's about an hour and a half south. And also 75 south around that area, doesn't matter what time of the day, there's something going on. There's something bad happened. There's a wreck. There's somebody changing a tire that stopped, you know, 3 miles of traffic behind, you know, it's just always something. And that morning there was like a tractor trailer turned over and a car fire. And we were like, okay, this is a 5:30 on a Sunday morning or 6 o'clock, whatever. So we ended up we were diverted around. We eventually got to the park. So my son had a baseball game at 8 and 10 o'clock. And I was like, okay, well, and they won both games, which was great. But that meant we had to stay there until 7:40 until the championship game, which means we didn't get home until about 11:30 last night. So it was a long ass day. And I got to see some of the game at Miller Ale House down there. Not enough. I couldn't really keep up with it because, you know, we were all together and talking and whatever. And just so I needed to watch it today, which I watched it today. But I did see everybody's tweets, and I saw Mike's tweet, and I was like, oh God, you know, this is not going to be good, you know? And, you know, and it was just, I didn't really know what happened, and I couldn't watch it last night, so I finally watched it today. So Joe, of course, I think y'all both saw it live, right? So y'all tell me, did it seem like, did you ever feel like, oh, we're going to win this game, or was just like kind of have that thought like, no, we're not winning this one?
I'm gonna let Joe take that before I light the fire.
You know, it did, like, I was actually kind of conceding that they were going to lose when it was 24-10. It just didn't seem to be going well for them. The defense at that point, for as well as this defense played in this game, which really kind of came out in the second half, at that point, they were still giving up these touchdown drives. Now, they were admittedly short drives because the offense was, or the special teams units were giving them these short fields. But to me, it just didn't seem like the Falcons' day. And then they started getting things going. They obviously scored the touchdown. They have this long touchdown drive that lasts from midway through the third quarter all the way into early in the fourth. And then the two-point conversion happens, and it almost seemed like that – the result of that really swung a lot of things. And I don't know if that's me just saying it after the fact, seeing the way that things played out, the fact that they didn't get that 2-point conversion. And then it seems like from there, catastrophe just started striking all over the place. And it still felt like they had a great chance. I mean, they got themselves in the positions they needed to be to actually win that game. And, you know, if you look at the stats, they certainly did that. I mean, they held Washington to, I think, 13 first downs in the game. They only gave up one first down after about 7 minutes left in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. So you look at those things, and it's like they did everything they needed to do to win, and they didn't win. And the reason why they didn't win is basically it's the most embarrassing way to lose, I think, especially if you're a coach, which is for these communication breakdowns that happen when you have a delay of game, when you have third and goal from the two. I mean, like, that is just, that's the kind of stuff that is like obviously embarrassing for you to kind of transpire in real time in front of all these people that are watching at home and watching obviously in your home stadium. So, man, I didn't think they were going to win. Didn't think they had a chance to win. Then I did think they had a chance to win. And then obviously it didn't obviously come to fruition.
Yeah. Mike.
I thought they were going to win into the very end. If you saw what I was tweeting, I said, and do you believe, like, I'm the type, I'm like, oh, because I'm gonna be honest. All you had to do was just execute some very easy things, some very simple things. And we were doing it. And then something boneheaded would happen. And it was either a penalty or the quarterback would do it or the coach would do it. And I was at home. I got a brand new couch and I almost tore it up. I almost tore it up. I almost just carved the cut. Man, it was frustrating to watch, but I always thought that they could win because the defense, just like every game, gives us like repeated opportunities to win. Like they hand, man, I did it again here. And it's like we just, it's like a person that keep cheating on you. You keep taking back and they just won't stop. And it's like, no matter how much you try to love them and forgive them, they just won't stop. And like the offense won't stop right now. Like they just, I felt like, man, you gave every opportunity. And some stuff even broke your way sometimes. And you couldn't, it was very frustrating to watch. It was very frustrating to watch.
Yeah, I can see that. I was just curious because, you know, when you watch it back, you already know the result. You know, you don't have the same emotions because you're just like expecting and kind of know, you know, certain things are going to happen or whatever. But yeah, so it's kind of what I figured because, I mean, you know, near the end, I mean, we had the opportunity, but, you know, like you said, and we'll get into it, you know, more. But let's see what's going on with the chat. Say to a few folks that are in here, man, what's going on? Another PR.
Another PR. Man. What up?
He said having a Kit Kat and a martini. That's a hell of a combination.
That is.
Let's do it.
He's going to have bubbles.
Is the Kit Kat like dunked in the martini like that, like an olive? Like,
boy, your stomach about to be, I don't know where you about to go. You better be by.
That might be crazier than Matt Collins eating or drinking M&M water.
Right?
See? Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, that don't even make any sense.
Unfortunately, he didn't get to have that after a loss.
No, sure didn't. Bubba Gump, what up, buddy? Good to see you, man. Mean Red Machine, what's up?
Mean Red Machine. Oh, it ain't Matt for. Remember that.
Oh, yeah. What's up? What's going on, Jordan?
Jordan, what up, fellas? Hope everyone in the chat is doing well. Tough loss yesterday. Have to regroup and get right this week. Rise up. Bam. Miss Bam. Hello, John and Mike and Joe. Mean Red Machine. I'm still riding with 9 and Coach, by the way. Mean Red Machine still down for the cause. He said, except GT, go Jackets. Oh, except Georgia Tech. That's true. Go Jackets.
That's true. And
6 days left. Hey, Keller, our series should be 7 games. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And baseball is all rhythm, man. It's rhythm and, you know, just they're, you know, if it's, we see it every year. Whatever team is like hot at the right time, then that's the team that goes all the way almost 9 times out of 10. Mm-hmm. And that just wasn't us this year. Was Birdo in here? Did I miss Birdo? Maybe not. Oh, there he is. No, there we go. Birdo, what's going
on? Birdo, what up?
It's all, man. It's all good. We were just
talking. Better late than never, buddy.
Yeah, man. We're doing good. Yeah, so, you know, talking about the game, first of all, Mike, Biscuit's 2-0 now, buddy.
Biscuit 2-0. I'm going to tell you, I was broken heart that he went against me, but when he won, that's the first thing I thought of. Oh, man. Man, I should have parlayed with Biscuit, man. I should have had faith in the little dog gut. But Biscuit on a roll, man.
I'm telling you, if he's like somebody tweeted earlier, he's like, if he's 3-0, you might want to start like putting this on the website or something. Yeah. Like making a little money off this.
We got something going on. He broke my heart, though.
Yeah, no, that was great, though. The interview was great. His face he
was literally ashamed of himself. It was made it funny. He felt very bad, so I had to let him know it was all good.
His face was hilarious. And that was great. And then, yeah, so basically when I watched it, actually, you know what? Let's look at your poll, buddy. You did a poll and you just said, basically just curious in your humble opinion, who was the reason for today's loss? And you said Arthur, Desmond and Arthur and Biscuit. Biscuit did get 4% of the votes. So he did get blamed for something.
I knew. Yeah. He spoke it up.
Yeah. Desmond only got 12% by himself.
Okay.
So, and then this is out of 728 votes. Arthur got 39%, and leading with 45% was Desmond and Arthur, which is, that's kind of where I would have been. I mean, you know, if that's because that's, you know, they both made obviously some mistakes that they, you know, shouldn't. I mean, I think at this point, people are more pissed off with Arthur because it's his third year and they expect him to kind of be, you know, learn from last year, like the mistakes that happened in this game with the time management and in the fourth quarter, especially, like they expect those things to just to not happen, you know, like those to be cleaned up and not even come to that. So I think that's kind of what's got him irritated. That, and I get that. But I kind of, you know, when I was going through the game today, I kind of wrote down, I was like, and I typically write down like positives, negatives, and but then I had added a third category of what. Because like there was several like just what was that like type, like, you know, calls or just weird plays or whatever the case may be. Like Ryan Neuzel playing. It was interesting.
H-back, yeah.
I was like, what? I mean, the third string center out there. I mean, I was like, all right, I guess positionless football, baby. Let's go.
Gotta start here. How cool was it that Matt Ryan was calling the game, though?
It was cool.
How cool was really that? Cool. And that everybody had on Matt Ryan jerseys. That was epic. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome to see.
Yeah, it was cool, man. That was cool hearing it. And look, he was honest. I thought he was great, man. He does a really good job in the booth. Like, he did excellent.
So,
yeah.
Shout out to Matt.
But yeah, so just starting right off, man. I mean, like the run game, just like every other team that we faced, since Detroit, they've came in and said we're going to stop the run, and the Washington line is one of the better lines that we're going to see all year long. I mean, all those guys are big dudes, stout dudes, strong dudes. And a lot of times they were running five defensive linemen out there. Mm-hmm. And they had the big nose tackle in the middle that was like just clogged up the middle. They couldn't do anything. So, I mean, come hell or high water, we're going to know whether or not Desmond can throw or not on a consistent basis because we're going to force him to every week.
So,
he threw the ball 47 times. I mean, like, that's not what we were projecting was going to happen. I mean, we did run over. We still got over 100 yards rushing, barely. It was like 106, I think. That's such a huge part of our game. You know, if we can't run, then everything just kind of runs off that pass. And I do think he's making, even with those picks that were in the game, I mean, like, you still saw some really good throws from him. But you also saw still a couple of more turnover-worthy or turnover-type throws that, you know, he has to cut down on, you know, whether it's a miscommunication, whatever the case is. Like, that's just got to get cleaned up. Because I think, Joe, I think you tweeted out earlier, I think he's got, 15 now?
15. Right. Leads the NFL in turnover-worthy plays. And that's just, you know, it doesn't seem like that much when you're looking at the list because it's like, you know, him and then Mac Jones with 14, and then you got some guys with 10. But the difference between 15 and 10 turnover-worthy plays over a six-game span is a lot. I mean, that's a big difference. And so I think that's going to be – it's one of the things that confounds me about – Ritter, which is that, to your point, John, like, he was making some throws, like, you know, and we've seen him, especially the last 2 weeks. I mean, he had a great week last week against the Texans, but even in this game, he's like connecting with Drake London on some really nice, you know, tighter window throws and these slants and stuff. And I think Drake ended up with like 9 catches for 120 yards. He had a really good game. But then there will just be these random errant throws, and you kind of don't know when they're coming from Ritter, but they're coming at some point. And they're so bad that it's almost unsustainable to keep him out there thinking that you're going to have a winning team if you're just constantly getting these errant passes that are leading to you losing the ball and setting up the other team for short fields to then go drive and score against what, you know, should be the strength of your team, which is your defense. So it's you can't win that way. I mean, Arthur Smith said today, it's like, when I think teams that have a -3 turnover differential are like 96% chance they win 96% of the time, which is totally checks out. And, you know, the Falcons got away with it last week with the couple fumbles because they played so well. That game, they could have won by many more. They left so many points on the table last week, and they did the same thing this week. I mean, there were so many points left on the table because they just, you know, doesn't turn the ball over. He also took a really bad grounding penalty, which kind of killed what could have been a touchdown drive by just not getting the ball past the line of scrimmage. So it's just some of these boneheaded stuff that is just got to be driving Arthur Smith crazy. And that's why I'm a little bit surprised on the poll that so many people voted, you know, and I'm just looking at comparatively, it was like triple the people decided it was solely on Arthur Smith versus Desmond Ritter, which to me, I would think it's more on Ritter. Again, these are all just kind of thought experiments. Obviously, there's so many people that play a part in what happens in these situations, but it was rough. I mean, it was rough. And I don't know if you guys saw his PFF grade this week was actually the lowest of the season for Ritter, despite the fact that he threw for 300 yards and had a couple touchdowns, just because the bad plays were so bad and in such crucial moments.
Let me say this, man. I agree. I'm so glad, Joe. I'm so glad we got you on the show because you just articulated something that I want to explain to people. That is the exact reason why I'm so hard on the man and how come I have turned, like, he's turned me off. I'm saying no, because there are times where he looks good. He did look sharp, like Johns. He'll throw some, and you'll be like, wow, okay. But then the plays that he does something that you just have no understand, like you threw it right to him, or you threw it in the coverage, or you took a ground. It's you cannot have those, and those will lose you the game. And when you lead the league in them, no, I have no patience for that. No, I don't think that you are being professional. And I don't want you to be my starting quarterback. If you lead in the league in that, no, man. If you struggle with anything else, I could do it. But when you struggle with like just a wild boneheaded play, and we can kind of guarantee like every game a few of them, and we have to win in spite of those, I can't have faith in you. I have no confidence, because I know you will just back up and throw it right to the cornerback. He'll run a pick six. I know you will do it. And when you constantly, when the proper play is called and it's on you, and you do something like that, and you got time, and you do something like that, that's when I'd be like, dog, I can't be that out of my Falcon mind. I would really have to be out of my Falcon mind to keep being like, yes, he's throwing it right to the other team. It's like a person cheating in your face. Like, you look what, and I'm gonna be honest, man. I love y'all for supporting the team and for supporting him, but I just wanted to explain why. That's why I'm that hard. It's not because he can't run, because he can't play, because he don't play good sometimes. It's because the shit he do when he do wrong, it leave me want to light a blunt. And I'm not supposed to smoke, but it leave me want to light a blunt. Like, he stressed me that much. Like, what were you doing? So, no, that's just why I'm that hard on the man. Because those plays in the NFL when you're trying to win are not acceptable.
Yeah, and lastly, just on the turnover-worthy stuff, I mean, he had more turnover-worthy plays in this game against Washington than he had racked up in any game prior to this. And there have been some bad ones. You know, the Detroit one was pretty ugly. He's obviously under pressure in a lot of those games, but that's the other thing. Like, he wasn't under as much pressure in the pocket. He had better pass protection this game. Those plays are still happening. To his credit, yeah, I mean, he had zero against the Texans, but, you know, again, it's too random. It's too unpredictable from what you need at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I mean, you're still looking for that consistency. That's what's driving everybody nuts. And Joe, we said it a few weeks ago on the show, and I don't know if you saw the one or not, but it was what's really driving everybody crazy, I think, is just because the defense is playing so well, and it played well enough to keep you in games and win you games. I mean, like,
to win.
Yeah, again, 24 points, you know, and they didn't allow anything really in the second half. I mean, like, just nothing, you know, and even with Houston, they kept, like Mike said, they kept giving opportunity after opportunity, and just nothing, you know, couldn't convert. And I get that, you know, it's going to take time to gel with the offense, especially a new quarterback and everything, and a young quarterback. But that's what makes it that much worse is, you know, we are in a position to win a weak division. Everybody, the whole NFC South lost yesterday. we go beat the Bucks next week, we're in first place. You know, that's what's crazy. You know, it's like, so, I mean, it's there right in front of you, you know, to take still. So it's like, it's eerily similar to last year, kind of like where we're at now. You know, what's depressing about that is we are far more talented, like far, far more talented than the team was last year.
But you know, I'll be honest, John, I don't mean to interrupt you, man, but the quarterback feels the same as Mariota, because it's unpredictable.
Just different.
He might
exactly.
do anything. Yeah. He might throw in. It feels the same. And I know that's true,
Mike.
It just feels the exact same at quarterback.
Yeah, and you're right. And it's just the only difference is we were, you know, veteran versus basically a rookie, you know, and we were hoping that, you know, Marcus could, you know, be the next Geno Smith, you know, kind of do a reclamation of his career, but obviously that didn't happen. But
can I just butt in and say it?
Yeah,
that's the one reason why I'm not, just for me personally, listen, No, I'm supposed to be independent journalist guy here, but like, I'm a Falcons fan. I grew up here. I've rooted for this team my whole life. So like, and I want to see good football when I go to the, you know, when I watch this team play. So I want to see the team do well and play well. And if I'm speaking from that perspective, it's like the reason I'm not kind of like in tear it down mode, especially with Ritter, is because he is young and there's the hope that he improves. Now, it is concerning that we're now like six games in the season or whatever it is, and the same mistakes are still kind of hanging around. I do think there are some green shoots in terms of, again, what we were talking about with Drake London getting really involved in the passing game. You know, he connected with Kyle Pitts on that touchdown pass. The opening drive was almost perfect. Like mm-hmm. that thing was yep. beautiful. Yep. And honestly, I should have said when we said like at the beginning, like, did we think the team was going to win or not? After that first drive, I was like, oh, this could be like the Falcons like coming out day, you know, mm-hmm. after you saw that. But then again, you know, it's just like you have to hope and expect to see improvement, because otherwise, what are you doing? If you're not seeing some of these things sorted out over time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you felt, but you know, we said before, unless literally the wheels are falling off and we're just rolling on hubcaps down the road, that we would hope to see a full season. Cause that's really kind of, you know, what you mm-hmm. need for our quarterback to really, you know, we've seen tons of really good quarterbacks have really terrible rookie seasons, you know, and then that's nothing new for the NFL. So I think it's just, you know, we want to see more consistency by now, I guess, you know. Yeah. So and that's what we thought, you know, I thought the month of October was going to be really important for Desmond, just for the rest of this season. Because, you mm-hmm. know, Arthur has to make a decision, too. This is his job. This is, you know, I mean, he's got his, you know, I mean, but we like to all, what we also talked about, too, if Taylor comes in, then Taylor's in. And I don't think you go back to Desmond at that point, you know. Yeah. So that's a huge decision. You know, yep. you've got to be damn sure that that's it, you know.
All right, John and Joe, I got a huge hot take, okay? And I know I'm going to cause a wave with this one, but this is how I feel after this game, after I watched. I thought about this. I took walks like I was on the team. like I really had an input. Like, dude, I really took an hour-long walk with my thoughts. It. Like, I really had an input.
Dude, Mike told me that he recorded a video on how to delete it.
That's the best.
I did. I had a whole video.
That's how you know.
Here's what I come to. When we was playing Mariota last year, I wanted Desmond to come in. And I remember y'all kept saying, well, we got a chance to go to the playoffs, so that's why we should keep Marcus in. And I was like, I mean, okay, but I agree with y'all when it came down to it. Okay, cool. I feel like with our defense and the talent we have on offense, we have a chance to go to the playoffs now. We have a chance to go to the playoffs. Desmond Ridder is hindering us in that chance. Three, four, five throws that he don't make, Taylor will make, guaranteed. So that's the difference in the game. I want Taylor in the game now. I think that if, like, Ridder was playing well and I was trying, oh, man, let me see what he does. The man is playing poorly. The only reason why we won the games we won is because people dropped the interceptions. Like, I'm just being honest, because they dropped the interceptions. He has caught fire a few times. He's impressing me. And I was right there saying, oh, my God. Okay, yes. Okay, it's him for real. Like, it's Joe Montana. Like, I was right there blowing it out of proportion. But then when he come back down to earth, when you need him to do something and he do something boneheaded, I'm saying, I don't think Taylor will do that because he's a veteran. Just five or six plays a game, he'll make, and who knows what our record could be. If our defense keep giving us that ball back, I got more faith in Taylor to win us those games to make a playoff appearance this year. So I would love to see Desmond play for 8. I said that at the start. I want to see him look. But he is shit in the bed so bad. He looks so not impressive to me. I've seen enough. I'm just being honest. I think Taylor for this year, because the defense, who knows if they're going to play like this next year. So why are we just going to say, like, man, just let him play and see if he throw 2 interceptions? No, man. Please, dog. I want to win so bad. I've been starved for it. I'm in the desert. I just want a drink of water.
Well, to your point, Mike, I mean, like, I'm not personally there yet, but I wouldn't be. I'm not saying I won't be there at some point. And I think that, you know, I think the calculus is different for Arthur Smith this year with a potential quarterback change. I don't think personally he is close to it at all right now. But I think there's a reason why you bring in, you know, an experienced quarterback like Taylor Heinicke. Because you feel like this is an opportunity for you to get to the playoffs. I think it's really important for Arthur Blank, for this team to be in the playoffs. He was actually on 92.9 The Game this morning and kind of expressed some disappointments with the quarterback play, which, you know, is, I think, saying something. He wasn't totally, like, you know, trashing the guy, obviously, mm-hmm. but whenever there is even like a hint of kind of like, you know, disappointment, I guess, from Arthur Blank, then, you know, it's legit. And I think that there would be a time where you have to decide whether like you're going to be able to ride with Ritter. I think the fact that the team is 3-3 and has a chance to take the division lead next week means that we're not close to that from Arthur mm-hmm. Smith's point of view. But I was saying, actually, I was on Pound for Pound a couple weeks ago. That was after they lost in Jacksonville. And I was saying that if he didn't look better in these next two home games, then you could be as soon as this coming week that we're actually at going away mm-hmm. to Tampa, where I think you would have to decide like, okay, well, if he's looked pretty bad for most of the season now, then now we're going on the road for a division game. Are we rolling with him now? Mm-hmm. I think what we've seen these two home games, this is just my opinion. He was legitimately great against the Texans. I think that mm-hmm. at that time, I don't know if it was how this week affected it, but at the time it was the fifth highest rated quarterback performance by PFF of any quarterback so far this season. Mm-hmm. So, didn't turn the ball over, mm-hmm. Made throws. And so that was good to see. I think that he really needed that for his job security. Yep. And then I think that even going into this week, and for as bad as that game was from him, for as bad as the mistakes were, which I don't want to kind of like diminish those because they were killers in the game. It's why you lost. But I did think that like there was just things that we saw from him in the passing game last week or yesterday that were starkly different to me than what we saw like in Detroit and against Jacksonville. In those two games, and even against Carolina and Green Bay, he looked like hesitant at times, not mm-hmm. like having timing down with his receivers. It all looked kind of uncoordinated and messy to me. And I mm-hmm. thought that at least in this game, you were doing things to move the ball. He did throw for 300 yards, which that is, a little bit overrated at times. But, the team was moving the ball. It's just like in some of those key moments where you needed him to make a smart play that he wasn't doing or throw just a decently accurate ball. And that's the other thing about like some of these interceptions, the one at the end of the game and the first one, are not like he's like trying to make a special throw. They're like kind of like balls out into the flat, and mm-hmm. it was like getting picked. So it's like, mm-hmm. you cannot be getting, be committing game changing plays for the other team in those kinds of, low opportunity moments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's talk about the three picks. I mean, the first one, Matt and the guys on the broadcast, it looked like it was supposed to go to, I think whoever's on the inside, whoever was playing slot, I believe. I can't remember, or maybe it was running back. But they thought it was supposed to be
Bijan. He was like in a bunch set. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then instead of, but it looked to me, but Ritter said that in the first press conference that, it was just a bad ball, and because it looked like it did kind of look like it was going to go into the out, and they just Fuller just jumped her out and snagged it. The second one, number one, how you let the play clock, how you get a delay of game on the 2 yard line is beyond me. Like I don't a third and goal and you push yourself back and you damn near didn't get the next playoff. It was at 1 second. And then you're pressured and you just throw it. And he said it was just hot. So he threw it mm-hmm. back. Then Drake went one way, he threw it the other way. It was a miscommunication. That's a killer. And then the last one, lost some of it is on Bijan as well. I mean, he faded that route. He did not like in Madison mm-hmm. on the broadcast.
That was his fault. It was not a definite route. Yeah, that was not definite.
You can't let him. A linebacker was on you. You can't let the linebacker get inside leverage on you. And he just, he ran a slant, which again, and I understand why people are pissed off at Arthur because some of the, like, you have no timeouts left, which if you back up, the reason you have no timeouts left is because, again, you're going to have a delay of game and you had to call a timeout mm-hmm. after you spiked the ball. After you did it. I mean, like, it's like, you couldn't make this shit up. I was like, what are we doing? Like I was okay with the play calling really up until kind of the fourth quarter where I was like, there was a few head scratchers along the way, like going for it, going for the 2-point conversion, and really didn't need that, honestly. And then we had the penalty, which was great. Then they moved us up and then we ran Tyler into the teeth of their defense again, which I get it. Tyler's a big guy and he's strong, but damn it, man, those are big dudes up front on the other mm-hmm. side. So, mm-hmm. I mean, and it's not like we had, anyway. I can live with it. That's look, we're running team supposed to be, and that's, I get it. But if you're running a slant into the middle of the field when you have no timeouts left as well, or if you see or you see linebackers on Bijan, like, go, dude, like, run his ass.
If Bijan catches that ball, he's getting wrapped up for a 5-yard gain.
Right.
You have no timeouts. you're probably trying to rush up to spike it again with like what 20 seconds left if you're lucky. Yeah, if everything works out well. That's just a bad decision. I'm on the second interception, that one that he just kind of floated into the corner of the end zone. I'm really curious. I want to see that one back on the all 22. I can't wait till the all 22 comes out to watch that particular play, because from my vantage point, it was coming. We're in the press box. I'm in the press box and it's coming at us. So we're kind of right on top of it. Mm-hmm. And I actually, when the ball was snapped, I was like, oh, this is good, because I thought that Drake actually got, there was a, like Desmond was saying, he was hot and it was the guy that I think that was on Drake that blitzed. And so he was almost like, I thought he was wide open. But all the space was to the interior of the field, to basically to his left, not out to his right on like where the pylon is. And that's where he floated up. And that's the way that Ritter went, or that's the way that Drake went on his route. So I'm sure it was designed up that way. But there was a play earlier in the game. It was on going for it on fourth downs, like a fourth and four, kind of like a, you know, Arthur was just like feeling it in this game, wanted to go for it on every fourth down. But, you know, it was a very similar type of thing where Mac Hollins just, there's a blitzer. Mac Hollins runs into that hot space, just kind of like 5 yards to the interior, and they hit it for a first down. I thought that's what was going to happen on that play. I thought they were going to get the same exact look, but obviously it didn't work out that way. Yeah. One last thing, if you don't mind. So I actually asked Arthur today about the confusion on the final drive. Drake caught a ball at one point and was like hobbled. He was hobbling around. He actually stayed in for a couple plays feeling this injury, and he actually like put a block on somebody that allowed Bijan to get out of bounds. But then he came out, and I asked Arthur, and he basically admitted, that's like what basically the confusion was he came out of the game and he was down. He couldn't go back into the game until he got medical clearance. And it just discombobulated the what receivers were supposed to be in the game. And so that's why they started doing these like substitutions that were happening. So that is kind of at the root of what the confusion was and the time mismanagement that was happening at the end of the game. But that's not to excuse it. Like, you should always have a plan, and there should be clear communication for when a player is down, you know, who's stepping in. Everything should continue to run as normal.
And he just perfectly segued me into this, and the saying is, I feel the same way about the coach as I do about the quarterback. Like, I've been trying to support you, but your mistakes are so boneheaded and glaring when you make them. It make me just don't want you to be the head coach. Like, I don't think, like, it's like the pressure get to you and you buckle every time and you do something that leave the whole fan base with our mouth open, staring at the screen. We have no, and we are creative, man. We don't agree on nothing. It'll be 1,000 perspectives, and we can't find the one that understands what you was thinking. Nobody could, and he's done that so many times where it's just like, why are we doing this? Why are you, no, but why are you, do? And then he failed, and then it's like, dog, why did you do that? And then, so I just feel the same way, man. I feel like his coaching has lost us games because his mistakes have been so big when he made them. It's lost us games. So like I said, with just the talent on our team, I don't want to lose. And whoever's dragging us down to lose, I don't want them on the team, man. And I don't know how long we're going to wait for this to click. We're just going to wait. It's going to be like week 17, and we're going to be like, it's starting. I think it's giving. Like, man, it's not even gelling to the point where it's going in that direction.
Well, yeah. I mean, there has to be a date or a time, right? I mean, we can't just keep saying like, well, he's only played this many games, and well, he's only played, I mean, like, eventually it's going to be like, okay, well, I mean, this is kind of what he is at this point, you know? And as Arthur, and like,
the coach got his groceries, John, he bought all his groceries. He went shopping for his own groceries. Now, what are the struggles for, man? And I'm trying to be patient, but it's hard when you got this amazing car and you just leaving candy in it and crumbs in it, and you eating chips and it's cheese on the seat. You spilling coffee. That's how I feel. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? I want to win so bad, man. We done lost, what, 3 of the last 4 games. Man, this starting not to feel good, man.
Yeah, I mean, the next 2, I think, is going to be super important. Like, whether, I mean, if we lose these next 2 games and similar issues happen, I mean, it's just weird. I don't know how to, because last year, you know, it did like just earlier, it was a different type of thinking, you know, with Marcus. Like, now it's like, all right, are you really going to play the long game, or are you really going to like just play this whole season out and see what happens? Or are you going to make a decision at week 8 if things are going south and it says, nope, this is not working, we're going to put Taylor in and see what happens? I mean, that's just, I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. But I mean, that's just,
yeah, me too. I don't want to.
I mean, yeah, because if that backfires, you might be done. Yeah. Like, you might be done. I mean, like, because there's,
but you may be done if you keep him and that backfires.
That's the thing.
Like,
that's
so your too. Whole luck is with him. Like, yeah, they are tied. It's like a toxic couple. It's like me, y'all can't like you dance together good on the dance floor. Like, they stepping on each other's feet. Like, they don't go like you can't get the call to them. It's no rhythm. It's just like two robots just clunking, just trying to hug, man. It's just like, I don't know that they will mesh together. I hope they do. I really do.
I think there's something else like psychologically at play with this loss, which is that it feels like this team needs to win every home game because they've been so bad on the road lately. I was actually thinking about it this morning while I was in the shower, that I was going through every road game. I was like, what road game did they win last year? And it was week 3 against Seattle. It was a great game. They played great. But that's insane. It's been over a calendar year since they've won a road football game. So I think I think it's like, I can understand why people wouldn't really have confidence in the Falcons going into these next two games purely because they're on the road. And it's like this, just these fans have not seen this team perform well. And I do wonder maybe if that psychological aspect even creeps into some of the players at times, where it's like, man, when you've just been starved of success in a certain, you know, place for so long, and it feels like it's can't happen, or it's even harder to attain.
Yeah. And we've talked about it the whole time on the show. Like, and maybe this is just who he is, 'cause we keep saying like, man, it'd be great if he just like stops trying to outthink himself, you know, or just like, you know, you ain't gonna be the smartest guy in the room, you know, or like Mike says, you know, I'm thinking that he's thinking that I'm gonna think if I'm gonna do this, and he's thinking like, is, you know, it just seems like that happens every game, you know, like there's a few moments it's like, dude, it don't make it harder than it has to be, yeah. You know, like just, you know, do what's been working. You ain't gotta be, you know, we have to reinvent the wheel here, you know, that type of thing. So, but maybe that's just who he is. I don't know. I mean, let's jump back in the chat real fast, man. Sour Pickle, man. Great.
Sour Pickle. What's up, guys? New to you guys a few weeks ago. What's up? Bummed with that loss this weekend. Seems like Coach Smith and Ritter had some issues. They had more than a few issues,
hey,
buddy.
Just talking about it.
Berto, how do the Falcons reset as we are now on the road against a good Tampa Bay team? Don't ever call the teams in our division good. Berto, I'm going to have to edit that. Our offense has a total of 13 points combined, may I add. Ugh. Another PR coach presser today, he couldn't look straight to the press room. He was like Bisky, wasn't he? He knew he outsmarted himself. He was looking down and to the right. That's a telltale sign. Sour Pickle. That was a total mistake going for it on fourth down and giving Washington a short field. Yes, it was.
Their only two scoring drives were short fields. We didn't talk about it, but the special teams bump where we let Crowder come all the way back and damn near score on the punt return, that was
Here's why I'm saying he's just not qualified, because he coached the same way I would. Like the exact same way. Like everything I would do, he would do. Like everything I would do, he does. Like I'd be like, man, I go for it. He'd be like, I'm going for it. I'd be like, okay. But he can't be me. You can't be me on the dog. We're gonna lose. So
you gotta be smarter than me.
Yeah, gotta be. You have to be like emotionally disciplined. I am not that. I'm all over. I'm like that thing out in front of the car wash. You can't be me. So no, Beasley. They act like Ritter's a 5 years quarterback. Yeah, Beasley. Matt Ryan said it's Arthur Smith. Matty Ice. Berto said Arthur in crunch time doesn't do DR any favors. His offensive flow has become somewhat predictable. Washington did what Jags did and just sat in zone. Yeah. But I do have to add that. I always have to add that. He has made that young man's job four times as hard as it needs to be. So just, you gotta always throw that in. It's not just he don't look as bad just being him. It is the coach too. Chris said, put me in, coach. Put in Matt Ryan. I would love to see that. Millie Mills, are you talking about? What's up with it?
Yep.
Another PR. They didn't respect the running game and just waited for Ritter roll to the right, sack, or throw it away. Yeah.
That's true.
Linda. Mr. Linda, what's up? Hey, guys. I love listening. I'm really scared next week. We don't speak that on this channel. We don't speak fear. We out of our Falcon mind next week because we know he's worse on the road. I'm gonna be honest. Joe had a great point earlier, and this is what I will say about Desmond. Desmond, there are things you do see every week where you hope he gained confidence from. So he did some dumb stuff, but there are things he can pull that he did do well that hopefully he'd be like, man, if I can tweak those other things, I can. So he did do some good things he can carry. DJ, what's up, guys? Tower Pickle, do you guys have confidence in next week's game? Man, you can't ask me that. If he would have had a seizure on the field, I would have confidence. He could have been a paraplegic. I'm going to have confidence in next week's game. Tampa seems to have a pretty good defense. Who cares? We got a pretty good game.
We faced – I mean, Detroit had a good defense. Jaguars, pretty good defense.
Yeah,
I mean,
John.
Nothing should give me a ton of confidence, to be honest. I mean, just if we're going to be real about it. But, I mean, just from what we've seen. But we got to break out at some point on the road. We got to win at some point on the road. So, why not this week? How about that? Yeah.
Millie Mills, CP seems frustrated. Mac Hollins can't stand Dez. I believe that KP still figuring out the offense. John are receiving a career. Yeah. John are killing. A running back.
Max just an emotional dude.
Yeah, just a running back. Only Drake and Bijan look like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Max just an emotional dude that he just he has a hard time obviously hiding his hiding his emotions.
So. Billy Mills, the defense tried before the game, tired before the game starts. Hilarious. Arthur Smith seems clueless at times. He really does. Rag on stupid. Damn, Millie coming for blood. Headshots. Rag on stupid. So was Dez Bryant. Right? Are we dysfunctional? It does look like I said, the toxic couple. I don't know. Just the way I think. Yeah. Why Taylor not the command? You know what it's like, a person who got on all like this name brand stuff, but it don't match. It's all expensive name brand. The shirt, the pants, the stuff. But it's all like nice by itself. But oh man, it's just not working. Take that back to the crib. Beasley, why Taylor not the Commanders quarterback if he's better? I don't know that he's better, but I don't know that the floor is that hard to be better than what we got right now.
I think it's probably for the similar reason the Falcons, which is they've got a young quarterback in Sam Howell that they want to blood, you know, and try to make him work. And so that's the challenge the Falcons have.
Sam pretty good too. I like Sam. Another PR, the Tampa game is a 9-6 affair. Ooh, hopefully that's sad. Don't do us like that. Crimson. Mike's negativity is killing me. What do you expect from a rookie quarterback? I honestly think we need a new play caller. Get an actual play caller who can scheme it up. Here's what I expect from a rookie quarterback. And this is all I expect. I just expect one thing, and this is easy. So you got to be fair with me. Don't lead the league in turnover possible plays, because those are game changers. That's the one mistake you can't make. I try to tell a girl, man, I'll be patient. If you don't know how to cook, if you don't know how to clean, if you can't do other things, I'll work with you on anything, but you can't be cheating. Like, we can't be making that mistake, because that's the deal breaker. Like, we can't go, it's no forgiving. We move on. That's how I feel with that. That's the mistake you can't make. That's all I'm saying. I don't mind he taking a while to get to it. I don't mind he don't go deep. I don't mind he don't run. I don't mind any other mistake. But that one is a game changer, man. It really is. Y'all got to understand how serious that is.
Yeah, I mean,
I love the dude. I'm just saying, man.
I'm not at the point. Well, I'm not yet. I mean, I'm kind of with Joe. Like, I'm not at that point yet because if last week didn't happen, I'd probably be a little bit more like where you're at, Mike. I just think it's like you said, that combination. I think it can work. It just has to, like, those turnover types play. Like, we can't have those every week. No. We can't, because those are game changers. They are. Yeah. I mean, like, they will win or lose your game straight up. So I mean, like, those. It depends on where your head's at. You know, if you're a fan that's like, I don't care about this season. Yeah, I think Ritter's the guy. I want to see us. You know, he's going to give him this full season, see what happens, come back next year, have more money to spend in free agency, have another draft class, even better squad. Then we're rolling. Like, that's either you're there or you're no, screw that. I want to win now, you know, and I want the best chance to win now this year and move on, because it's I mean, we've seen teams like the Jets and the Browns go through quarterback after quarterback after quarterback mm-hmm. over the last 20 years. And it's like you don't want to be in that position, but you also – it's just – it's the hardest position to evaluate mm-hmm. by bar none. And, I mean, and it's – and it doesn't matter. I mean, college never – it sometimes – translates to NFL, but man, not, there's so many times it does not. I mean, you could be
you want to give him two, and really just you know want to give him the time, but
yeah. And then I've said we've said it before, and Joe, I don't know if you agree or not, man. If this was last year, nobody I think has a problem with it because we weren't planning on making the playoffs next last year, and it was just
let him go,
let this guy grow, let's let him take his lumps, you know, get in there and. Just didn't happen, you know. So this year, but because of the position that we're in and the defense playing so well, like we already said, it's just you know that's what I think people it just it speeds up the timeline for you for fans because they just okay we see the potential so let's just change what's not working and you can't no the head coaches are going to be fired right now so let's change the quarterback so that's you know that's kind of where it goes you know and I'm not out on either one of them yet I mean I was disappointed. I was expecting to be more pissed off after I saw all the tweets yesterday than I really was after watching the game. Like I thought I was gonna be like, man, this was just another like a Detroit type thing. And it wasn't, I mean, it was just, I mean, there was, you know, and everybody has their own opinion on it, but I was just, to me, it was just like the fourth quarter was bad. There were some bad throws, you know, some bad misses. There was obviously the turnover worthy stuff, but you know, I don't know.
It's honestly insane that, I think the Falcons scored that touchdown to make it 24. What was the final score? 24-16 with like 12 minutes left or something in the fourth quarter, and the score never changed from there because like they were just kept on moving it down. They were like in scoring position. It felt like the entire fourth quarter they were in Washington's half of the field, and they just were squandering these opportunities, which just you know, and that's what's so frustrating.
Yeah. So you didn't have to kind of go through what we all. Went through because if Joe just I'm glad that you said that and then he said that right after that if you had to go through the amount of times that it was like oh we got this time and then they fumbled and then you're just like oh man we got and then we got the ball back and it was like oh we could do we and then they did it
yeah lived it yeah
and then you okay we could do it and then they did and then you just like man this y'all are frustrating y'all
it's so true. It's like they were just like almost like intentional. It was like Lucy pulling the football, you know?
That's exactly what it was. like we had chance after chance just for our coaching and our quarterback to jail, just even the mediocrity, and we could have won the game, man. We had every opportunity. And I think that it does speed up the timeline because the defense that keep giving you a chance to win the game is a playoff-worthy defense.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And this comment here, like I'm from Roe, appreciate you, dude. He said, Arthur Smith have too much going on and it's a disconnect between him and Ritter. Dave Ragone is not the bridge between them. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It ain't. So Joe, a question for you, Ben, do you think, and I don't think it'll happen, but do you think Arthur should consider, I mean, we saw today the Panthers, Frank Wright, give up play calling, offensive play calling to Thomas Brown. Is that something you think Arthur should consider? Or do you think, you know, it's. I mean, obviously, I think he's too stubborn to do that. But maybe,
I mean, I don't think he should consider giving up play calling. I frankly just disagree with a lot of the complaints that fans have about his schemes and like not being able to scheme up an offense. And you know, I think there are some things. I was actually asking him this last week about when you have a quarterback like Ritter, who you're new to. You know, you're trying to work this relationship together, and I'm talking about like an on-field relationship, like understanding what he can do, what he can't do, what he prefers and what positions, you know, depending on what hash you're in, like all these different like very minute you know nuances that happen at the position. And I think they're still trying to work that out. I think it's going to be a feeling out process for a while. And you know, those were actually kind of more his words of what he said. You know, he said it's, you know, it is something that develops over time. And so again, that's where I still want to see more of Ritter at this point, because I want to see that if that development happens. But I think that it's worth sticking with him to see, because I think that it can happen, you know. And you know, it gets thrown around a lot, but like the Peyton Manning thing about him being 3-13. Obviously, he had worse pieces around him, you know, in his rookie year, but he was making, he threw tons of interceptions that year. And so things can turn around. And so I know that obviously it's the same caveats that all people make. It's like, I'm not saying that he's Peyton Manning or whatever, but I think that the upside is still there, I believe, with Ritter, to the point where you should stick with him. And see how it works out. But again, to Mike's point, it's like you are in a position to have a good, you have a good enough defense to win this division. If you get average quarterback play, you probably do win this division. I mean, this division's a rock fight. It's kind of one of the reasons why I don't think that Ritter is going to be removed, because I think that he's going to be able to do enough to pick up some wins. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this division winner is probably going to win like 9 or 10 games, and it's just going to be ugly, kind of like last year. And so it could go down to the wire, even if this team isn't kind of not, you know, blowing our doors off or anything. So, I don't know. I don't even remember what you asked.
No, it was just the play calling thing. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, I mean,
the rabbit hole of sorrow, man. It's just a rabbit hole of sorrow.
You know,
let me ask you this question, Joe.
Here's something. Oh, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
I mean, so here's what I would like to ask you, Joe. If a fan came up to you and they just want your honest opinion, Joe, if we can only straighten out one problem that we currently having on this problem on this team right now, we can only straighten out one more thing, and then we got to ride the season out. What is that problem, and how you straighten it out?
Well, if I knew how to straighten it out, then I would have a different job than I have now. I think I'd be up in Flowery Branch or something. But honestly, it's kind of funny because our whole kind of conversation today has been about Desmond Ridder and Arthur Smith and, working together, scheming things. This team has not been able to effectively run the ball this year like they did last year. And I think that that's where a lot of this stems from. That's why, like, we're kind of relying on Desmond Ridder to carry this offense right now, because the running game is not really getting much going. Mm-hmm. There's been some explosive plays from Bijan in the run game, but overall, and I think yesterday was kind of the perfect illustration of it, you're just not affecting teams and how they defend you with the run game. And that's why we saw those the play action was not really working when they wanted to try to get this bootleg action. And the backside end has nothing to worry about, because he's just relying on his guys on the other side of the line to stop the on the play side to stop the run. And he's there and he sacked Desmond one time. So I think that's honestly kind of the underlying biggest issue for this team right now, that's really kind of preventing them from being unlocked in the way that we thought they would. You know, when we came into the season, we thought that this was going to be a team that runs the ball, and Ritter's only going to have to throw it 25 times a game, and just if that's the case, if he's and the play action's working, it's opening guys up downfield, then boom, we got it. We got it made. And in reality, that's not kind of how things have worked out. So I think that if you do get that going, then it will kind of solve a lot of these issues with Ritter that we've been talking about.
I'm gonna tell you, out of everything everybody said, that's the first time somebody said that. So that's a great point. I love it.
Yes. And Ms. Pam said, too, the lack of run block on the offensive line is unacceptable. Yeah. And that's outside of the Green Bay game, I mean, it's been just tough sledding a few little breakout runs here or there from Bijan. Tyler's been bottled up for the most part. And like last year, that was clearly the strength, and we were going to run it down your throats regardless. And even if they knew that we were going to run it down, we're still going to do it. And we would, and we'd still be successful doing it, So this year, it just seems like teams have just said, I don't care. Here's 8-9 guys in the box. Now try to do it. Because there's no, and I mean, like I said, it's either going to work out well, Dez is going to really come along quickly and figure these things out, or it's going to completely backfire. We're going to be screwed.
And defenses can really play those loaded boxes. And because the Falcons personnel sets are typically so big, you're not really worried about kind of getting burned over the top. So you're kind of willing to kind of let your corners be out there solo against like a Drake London or something. And if they give up a catch, then they give up a catch, but you're probably not giving up a big play, and you're willing to take that risk because it, allows you to effectively shut down the run game, which it's like taking the head off the snake, right? It's like, that's kind of where it all starts, and everything that good happens from that. So I think that's an issue that they're going to have to work through this season. I do wonder if, with the signing of Van Jefferson, the trade for him, if that means they're going to use more like 11 personnel and try to get more speed out on the field and try to run against some of the, if you present more speed on the field and threats deep, not only do you have to kind of use different personnel, defensive has to use lighter personnel sets for that, but they also kind of have to back off a little bit because they got to be worried about, you know, you burning in the way that even Drake London and Kyle Pitts, who is clearly not at 100%, or have not really been able to do so far this season.
So, yeah, Joe, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
No, I was going to say, I that's why I really did like the Van Jefferson signing, because I thought, okay, here's a guy, still big dude, but can really stretch the field. And you saw it. Look, Desmond, there's no question he has got the arm.
Yeah.
That was a long 60-some-odd
yards in the air. Yeah.
In the air, just, you know, I mean, and a little bit more time with him, maybe he's got that timing down a little bit better. But there's no question he's got the arm. So that's there, you know. But I just think that the more he gets involved in the offense to be able to really stretch the defense out, then that'll help. But like you said, because right now we have a bunch of guys, and look, you know, Drake's great, like he great game, strong hands, like again wrestling guys for balls. I mean, like he's that, and that's the same kind of guy Mac is. You know, like they're not going to have a tons of separation, but they're going to go up and they'll attack anybody for the ball. So I great, but you know that's kind of also the same sucks because across the middle or even on, you know, where we haven't thrown a ton of corners this year, but even in the flats or across the middle, it's that's where a lot of the guys either they're jumping the outside or it's just so congested in the middle he can't complete. You know, yesterday he found a few soft zones, hit Kyle. Was just nice to see Kyle get a touchdown. It was good to see him still involved in the offense too. So yeah, I mean, those type of things, he just has to, I mean, we just have to hope that the offense just starts spreading out a little bit too, because like whoever said it earlier in the chat, it is getting a little predictable. You know, I mean, that's why some of these corners are jumping these routes, because they've seen it, you know, and they kind of and Des has done a better job of not staring down, but he still is doing it from time to time. And he did it yesterday.
Speaking of predictable, I'm like, you might as well have put like the little X and O, like the little young triangle. He might as well have told the people what he pressed. Triangle. I'm going to the X, like. But here's what I wanted. Here's what I got for you, Joe. Here's what I got for you. Speaking of Van Jefferson, Joe, in your entire life, since you've been a Falcon fan, since your entire life, you got to see a lot of very great players play for your team, right? A lot of great players on this roster. If you can only get one of those, if you had to pull one of those players, and you had to, and you were going to take them at their prime level, at the peak of their talents, for 1 year to help this team right now, you don't got to worry about no money. I'm paying for it, buddy. All right, so don't worry about the money, but you get to play at the peak of their talents for this year, for this specific team, to help us out to get to the playoffs and possibly the Super Bowl, if you let me tell it. Joe, who you bringing back and why?
It's easy. It's that guy in the booth, Matt Ryan. If you put Matt Ryan on this team, it's a Super Bowl team.
Great. Hold on. Say that again, Joe. Say that again. Say it again.
A Super Bowl team with Matt Ryan. Prime Matt Ryan.
Come on,
Joe,
man.
I think you just joined our show permanently now.
Yo, I might. Yeah. You might. Let us tell you something, Joe. You are my favorite person right now. Oh, I mean, man.
He's one of, if not the greatest Falcons player of all time, and he would be replacing one of your biggest weak spots in the most important position. So I think it's kind of a no-brainer there.
Yeah. Hey, that's true. Will win the Super Bowl. Man, that was the greatest answer. That just made my day. Birdo, hot seat question. That just made my day. Thank you, Joe. Birdo got a question. Thank you, Birdo.
Appreciate you for the Super
Birdo
Chat.
Said, hot seat question. Does Arthur get another pass this year if we finish under 500? Joe, take it away.
Ooh, under 500. That's something I don't even want to think about.
Yeah.
And that's two answers, Joe. I want to hear from you. Is he getting a pass from you personally? And do you think from the fan base in general, he getting another pass or from his boss?
Man, this is so hard for me because like I talk to the guy and I love Arthur Smith. Like he is the coolest guy. I wish the fans got to kind of experience some of the interactions that we're able to have as press with him, because, you know, he's not shy about coming over it, like, you know, talking to people, you know, reporters off the record and just talk, and not about the team, but just whatever, you know, or sometimes it is about, you know, who knows, but like, he's like, so I have like a lot of respect for him. I love the way he thinks. I love so many things about him. So under 500 would be such a disappointment. I would say yes. I would give him the pass. But that would be rough. And I think think Arthur Blank would too. But man, that's tough. I haven't even like considered this team like being under 500 and kind of being at the same spot they were last year, just because they're so much more talented. Like you said, John, at the top of the show, like this team is so much more talented than the team last year. It would be hard to imagine them having the same record, especially with the schedule they've got.
Yeah, this is kind of where I'm at though, and that's kind of why I kind of agree with Joe. I think as much as we like to say, yeah, we're going to win Super Bowl and stuff like that, I don't think we truly are like this year, regardless, yeah. You know. And so I think we may get in the playoffs. You may win one game.
Okay, hold on for a minute. If like Desmond, I'm going to say from like 1 to 10, mm-hmm. if he even plays, just say he like catch himself and he start playing at what we say is like a 5 or like your 6, competent, he's throwing 2 touchdowns a game, he not throwing an interception, and we can run the ball, you don't think that we could beat the shit out like most of the teams in the NFL?
I don't think we're beating San Francisco. I don't think we're beating Philly. And I think it's the two teams you have to go through to get there. And I just don't think we're there yet. Because even if he gets rolling like that, I don't think those two defenses, or especially San Francisco, and I know they just lost to Cleveland, but that's a different animal, man. Like that's a beast of a, and I think that they would take advantage of a young quarterback, and they may, look, you get in the playoffs, you never know. It could happen, but I just think personally, you know, we may get in there, win one game and get bounced out the second, you know, so like,
come on, Johnny Yates, you in your Falcon mind right now. You in your Falcon mind.
If we were 4-2, 5-1, I may have a different opinion depending on how the offensive play, but just see, I mean, it has not been consistent enough for me. So, I mean, until it's kind of consistently rolling, I mean, I don't know. I can't jump all in like that. But that's why I say it would probably get another year, too. I mean, like but I think next year would definitely be it, though. Like, next year be like, you've got to win this year. You've got to go to the playoff. We've got to see market improvement this year. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be the door probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah. So,
by the way, just to kind of jump off on that point, talking about the quarterback position, the future of it, if it's not Desmond Ridder, it's hard for me to imagine that they're going to try to like draft a quarterback because of that point that you just made there, John. Like, they've got to win. And if if they got to win, you're going to try to win with a rookie quarterback. I don't care if it's Drake May or Caleb Williams or whoever, you know, it's like those are always projects. They're always going to take time unless you're, I guess you're CJ Stroud, but almost always going to take time. And so who do they go to there at that point? You know, I don't want to think, because like a lot of the quarterbacks that are available available are not like the most appealing ones to think about. But
I mean, I don't really want Tannehill here, man. I mean, what I mean? Like,
name that everybody. Yeah. It's like it's hard not to, because you obviously know the connection with Arthur. But
right. And if you do decide to, and not to mention like the draft capital you have to give up to get one of those guys, like a Caleb Williams or a Drake May, you're talking about, you know, what San Francisco did with Trey Lance, you know, 3 first rounders probably is where you start, you know, and then go from there. So it's, I don't even want to think about that too. I mean, but you know,
there's one other thing while we're talking about Arthur, and I was actually just recently going back and watching the Titans 2019 highlights when they were there, when he was there. That was obviously
like great season. He called it great
year. Yeah. They were so up and down though with the results that year, that Titans team. It was like, and it was a crazy season. I mean, if you were a Titans fan that year, it must have been such like a roller coaster to watch, because they were just, you know, the offense was making these crazy plays, but then they just got hot in the playoffs, you know, and they made a run and they, you know, came close with the Chiefs in the AFC Championship, a great Chiefs team, probably the best one that we've seen. So, you never know. That's why I like when it comes to predictions, like, I've been totally wrong with the way that like I predicted the season to start at this point. And I don't want to like place any of I just try to keep an open mind. Like, I don't know what's going to happen in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And so I try not, I want to think that I know, and but I got to try to, you know, keep an open mind and hope that things can turn for the better.
And I really just hate that, Joe, that because we all thought that we would know like where it would be trending, where we could predict. It'll probably be even to not know, to be like, man, it could look amazing. It could look like trash. It could look in the middle. It might look impressive. It might suck. It might be imploding. It might like, you don't know what it's going to look like. And that is what I'm saying. That's the Marcus Mariota was the only person who gave me that trauma bond in my life. He would pull me in, then pull me out, pull me. Yeah. I was trauma bonded to Marcus. I didn't even know it. I was addicted to him. You know, he was the only person that gave me that vibe in my life, and I don't like feeling like that. And now we feel it again. I do like the Redskins. I mean, oh, please don't cancel me. The Commanders. Yeah, I meant the Commanders. I do like, man, that was a great team, and I love the quarterback. I love Chase Young, and Terry McLaurin was cooking. I'm sorry, AJ. He was cooking. He really was. A great team over there, but I still think we should have won. If we know how to use our talent, we would have won that game.
Yeah, yep, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and Lisa, yeah, Lisa, we did talk about that. Yeah, about the offensive play calling. Yeah, I mean, go back and check it out. JQ said AS is treating this team like it's a Madden team. Go for it on fourth for no reason. That's 2-point conversion. Why not?
That's what I would do, man. Don't do what I would do in this situation. Don't do it. Nah, man. Brian, we're going to call it.
It's Arthur, right, Joe? It is Arthur, right?
It's Arthur. Yeah. And in fact, I don't know. Has Ragone called plays in his career? I should know this, but I don't think that he has. Yeah.
I don't know if
there's another offensive staff member that has called plays.
Lisa said, Ragone is one of those positions that none of us know naturally.
What do you do here?
Exactly. You need the Bobs to come in if y'all get that reference. You're welcome. Exactly. A few positive things, though, from the game. So I know we've talked about a lot of negatives to deal with it. We got 5 sacks, guys.
Yeah.
We had our Clayus got his 100th. Arnold Ebiketie siding out there got a sack. That was good to see. But we tied our season total there with 5 in one game. We got off to a
shitty call with a great radio. I was in heaven, Johnny Yates. I don't even care that we lost. The fact that we was actually, because we've been getting closer and closer and closer, and to get home just felt good.
But you know
and
what?
Shout out to Calais for 100.
Yeah, man. And some of those, you know, when we've heard, you know, we kind of saw going in, you know, how would hold the ball a little bit long sometimes, but a lot of those were coverage, man. The coverage was so good that he didn't have anywhere to go with it, and he probably should have got out and got rid of it. But hey, we got the sack, and we got off to a fast start. We scored in the first drive, and it looked immaculate, like we talked about. It was crazy, beautiful throw to pitch there. I mean, that was that throw in the end zone. I mean, that's what drives you crazy. It's like, dude, there it is. Yeah, like that's exactly. Perfect. Touch everything you want to see. It's like, damn it, just Jeff Okuda, man, keeps
balling out,
just balling out, man. Like I love it. I love it for him. And then. Seeing Dez uses, and I don't, Joe, we didn't talk about this yet, but seeing Dez use his legs. I mean, Chase Young had him in the backfield. He spun out of it, got in for a first down. That back, it's still the backside boot play action thing was open still all day. Like, I would love to see him take off once or twice and just keep the defense honest because he can run. He is fast. He's a good athlete. And I just think that nobody accounts for him. Nobody thinks he's going to go anywhere. You know, and I know he's not Marcus as far as a runner. But damn it, he can do a little bit more than what he's doing now. I just wish that would be more part of the offense.
I feel like people forget that he ran a 4 or 5 at the combine coming out. You know, he's got athleticism for sure. And especially when he escapes the pocket going to his right on his throwing arm, he can make things happen. I've asked him this. I asked him, I thought in the Green Bay game, it's kind of what got him going. It got him in a better rhythm in that game because they used him on some design runs. Mm-hmm. And obviously had the rushing score against the Texans last week too. So I'm with you. I want to see more of that. I do wonder how much of that is just trying to, you know, keep him from getting hit. He's a pretty, I don't want to say frail is not the right word. He's just like thin. He's just like especially when you see him like without his pads on, he's like quite like a basketball skinny. Player. Yeah. Dude,
and
yeah,
he's gained weight from last year. Which
he has.
Last year. Right. He got 1 or 2 offsides calls again with his cadence, which is cool to see. That's something that, you know, you can, it just happened 2 weeks in a row now. So I didn't have a ton of positives this game, but you know, I throw them out there.
The cadence is important. I think it's really important, and it's not just for drawing guys offsides. It's helping the offensive line in pass protection. It's not allowing these defensive linemen to get a really good get-off against him, against them on the snap. And so it's hugely important. I think that it's no surprise that as soon as we've seen them really focus on this, that that the pass protection has improved. And another like way that teams were getting the jump on the Falcons is that they know kind of the motions, I think, that Arthur Smith likes to use. And so they know when a guy is in a certain motion, like they have a feeling of when that play is going to start. And especially against the Texans, they were doing some stuff where like they would put a guy in motion and then he would just kind of be stationary for a while. And I think it kind of froze the defense up a little bit. So yeah, they need to continue to be good in that area.
For sure. Well, and if anybody's seen this on Twitter, then you'll know what I'm talking about. If not, this is also something that's positive and kind of funny all at the same time. So we have quarterback A and we have quarterback B. All right, quarterback A, 130. This is for this season, 130 for 130 completions, 200 attempts. Quarterback B, 130 completions, 203 attempts. Quarterback A has 1,299 yards. Quarterback B, 1,380 yards. 5 touchdowns to 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions to 6 interceptions, 17 sacks to 19 sacks, 11 rushes to 20 rushes, 7 yards rushing to 75 yards rushing, 0 rushing TDs to 2 rushing TDs, 1 quarterback's getting paid $100 million and has a cap hit of $35 and $45 million the next 2 years. 1 quarterback has a cap hit of $1.4 million and $1.7 million the next 2 years. One's David Carr and one's Desmond Ridder. So we could be a hell of a lot worse if we were paying our quarterback $100 million to basically perform exactly how Desmond Ridder's performed this year, if not a little bit worse. So, yeah. I mean, good for the Saints, man. That's, you know, so the thing is, I mean, we're not tied. I mean, if something doesn't go wrong, we're not tied to the quarterback. That's
exactly
the upside, I mean, to it. So, I mean, and shout out to Ty, our buddy, Ty Rogers on Twitter. He's the one who tweeted that out. It was hilarious. That made me laugh.
Joe, I got a random question for you, Joe. What was the moment in your radio career, right, in your personal radio career, where you had to stop yourself from fanning out because you was about to be like unprofessional, like you was in front of somebody and you caught yourself like, damn, I have to reel this in because I'm too excited.
Oh man, I don't know. It has to have been like sometime during the Braves World Series run. Was probably like that's the thing that jumps out to me. It was really cool. We got to like go out on the field to see like the trophy ceremony, and that was one of those things where like I wasn't like, you know, like jumping up with my arms in the air, but I was like, man, I was just like taking it back, and I was purely in fan mode, just like. Yeah, you know, because everybody in the stadium, everybody is still there normally when we're down the field. Like, there's
awesome. Yeah.
So that was one. But then, like, also during the World Series, I was kind of just fanning out. And the reason was because I was in the auxiliary press box, which was basically they turned the Hank Aaron Terrace just into a press row, basically. Okay. So we were out there away from all the actual communications people and everything. Mm-hmm. We're outside. We're basically, we're in like a place where a fan would sit. So I was just cheering as a Braves fan there.
That's really awesome.
I love it, buddy. I love it.
Liam and Amanda ran a 5K a few weeks ago. It was for Parkinson's, and they ended on Turner Field. Jesus, they ended in Truist Park. So it started, and they kind of ran around like that Circle North Parkway or whatever, and they come in through the outfield. And at the end of the race was the World Series trophy. So they get their photos with it or whatever. And Liam's sitting there like got his hands on it, you know, and the lady was like, oh, no, don't touch that. I was like, hey, you got a chance to touch a World Series trophy. You weren't supposed to. It was great. Good job.
Awesome. Team stacked the box to stop the running game. Pretty simple. If you're the opposing team, having Ridder throw 50 times isn't it. Lisa said, in my opinion, we should score no less than 24 points a game. I agree. Our offense is better than what we have been showing. I agree.
Yeah,
I told Kerry that yesterday. We all just hoping to click every week. Like, if this click, it's gonna look amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we said in the preseason, you know, it's all hypothetical, and it's about, you know, for the same thing. And Joe said, you know, if this offense is clicking, I can't see us not putting up less than 25 a game, you know. And I think we haven't done that yet. Clearly not what we thought was going to happen yet.
Potential of a person, bro. Dr. Phil said, don't do that. He said, don't love the potential of a person. So we all got to stop. We all toxic because Dr. Phil did say that.
I can't believe you're watching Dr. Phil. Another problem.
I do remember that clip. It was on Instagram. I remember that. Jay Black said, panel, have you noticed that Arthur Smith finally starting to put Scotty? Yes. I love Scotty. CP, yes. And Van Jefferson, yes. We need people to take the top off, at least have the fastest wide receiver constantly testing the top every play. So that's what Joe said. I'm going to tell you, I think there are coaches in the league that probably like, if you gave me those weapons, what I would do to them, I would feel like Voltron. So I expect Arthur Smith to catch his, come on, man. You got everything at your disposal. Cook something good. Larry, my man, the Dixon way.
Hold on, Larry.
Someone needs to unplug the PS5 controller with his 4 and 3 play calling ass costing us our defense a short field and the commander. Yeah, we got about 5 good plays. Yep.
Larry, I bet that was, but you were having a hell of a time on Sunday. Make sure y'all check out Dixon Way, man, when he live streams the games with him and his wife.
Man, you got to check it out. They are awesome. So I got another one for you, Joe. I got a great for you.
Love it.
Desmond Ridder, because I did not know, right? So in the offseason, all the coaching staff had so much faith in him, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had so much faith in him that I had faith in him. I said, man, these people smarter than me. If these people say go, go. To not pursue a quarterback, to like, it was all in on him. It was like we had a little video. It was a hype video for Desmond. It was all of that, right? It was all, I had to probably like watch that 50 times. It was epic. But now that the season has started, that they put him in that position, it seemed like they don't even have the faith in him to throw deep or to expand the playbook at all. Like, man, you get a few plays because I don't have confidence in you. Why would the confidence be so loud or so strong in the off season?
Mm-hmm.
And now when the season comes that you can prove to us he was your pick and he was your guy and why you had faith in him and we all should have believed, why is he so strict on him now and the string so tight?
Yeah, I think first of all, I don't think that I think it was a calculated gamble to roll with Ridder. Again, to the kind of player comparison that you were just reading off there, John, those salary numbers, the 1.4, 1.7, 1.7.
Yeah.
If you get a good quarterback, if you get decent quarterback play, average quarterback play with that kind of money,
John always say,
it makes your team so much better. So I think that was kind of the calculated risk that I think that is still being run. Like, we're still finding out what the answer to that is going to be. It hasn't been great return so far, but we'll see. I think from the marketing perspective, I think that's just marketing. Like, they're going to hype up their guy, once he's kind of the starter.
I was hyped, yo.
Yeah.
I was like, next Matt Ryan.
They're going to hype him up. But I think that, I keep going back to this. I think that the whole Lamar Jackson saga really, I think, turned people's perspectives in a way that maybe they shouldn't have been at all from the beginning, because I think what people forget is the Ravens had control of that situation the entire time. If the Falcons went in and made an offer, the Ravens were going to match it. And that's my belief. My belief is that they couldn't come to an agreement between them two on what his value was. So they just said, let's just let the market decide. Let's let the highest bidder come in and make a bid, and then we'll match that, and then you'll be our quarterback. Then we're going to let him leave. But I think that a lot of fans and media certainly thought that any team, the Falcons kind of being one that was getting floated around a ton, didn't have a chance to land him. And so, and I think that just kind of affected the way that people thought how the Falcons were thinking about the quarterback position throughout the offseason. And so I don't think they really had any interest in it. Here's the other thing about that Lamar Jackson situation is that it's very hard for a team to go out and say, here's, $50 million a year that we're going to offer you. And then the Ravens match. And then you have to like turn around to your team and be like, it's okay. Like, we didn't really need him. It's not like we were playing for him or anything.
Yeah.
And of course this all happens like in the middle of free agency where you're trying to do other deals and kind of structure how you want to do things. And so I just think that's, it's some of those details are why that didn't come to fruition. And I don't know if they really loved it. Like, can't even recall now off the top of my head, like what other quarterbacks were even on the market for them to sign. I guess Derek Carr would have been one, but maybe there's a good reason why they didn't go for him.
Absolutely. No, I did not want that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just think that it's kind of a combination of those things. It's like, okay, well, we'll give Ridder a go and see how this goes. And that's, I think, also why they went out and secured one of the top backups in the league in Taylor Heineke and are paying him like one of the top backups in the league and someone they can potentially turn to if they need to.
That's right. He did. We're going to do call plays with Chicago. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's not good either. So, that's not it either. I said, John,
he touched the Stanley Cup.
That's nice job. That's probably the coolest one to touch.
Right. Exactly. They do a lot of things with that trophy. All right. So, we're at an hour and a half, guys. Y'all want to do underrated, overrated, Mike?
Yes, let's run it real quick. I said we
let's do one. Let's do it, buddy.
Oh, man, you got one? I don't even know what mine is yet.
Joe, you want to start it off, buddy?
I got one. Are we starting with overrated or underrated?
You do whatever you want, man.
You can do anything you want.
Well, I get a little deep here with the overrated. I feel like you, Mike, you might like this one.
I love it.
Approval is overrated.
I love it. Talk it, Joe. Talk it, Joe.
I need a daytime TV show.
We've been told we should do a relationship show. Which is amazing. But yeah, anyway, go ahead.
You don't need approval, and specifically, I'm thinking about like online. It's like I just feel it's like everybody wants like approval of what other people are thinking online. And I guess this kind of strikes me as well. Like after a Falcons loss, when again, I'm not trying to like invalidate it. Like however people feel about the game, like whatever it is, I hope that people express exactly how they feel. But I do feel like sometimes you just get into like groupthink, and it starts leading you down the wrong path when you're just trying to like say something that's like really inflammatory and engaging. You know people are gonna like it because you're gonna get all the likes. I hate people who are just like fishing for that stuff, and it's just comes off as so fake to me.
Oh, it's super obvious when it happens too. Mike.
Oh, I'm gonna go next. I want to go overrated. I got two. I want to go overrated first. I want to say this loud and clear. Overrated the Cardinals uniform. If you want to be an Atlanta Falcon, just sign to the team. You could have called off the blank and just signed to the team. Man, I was flipping channels. I thought, hold on, what's happening here? Are we playing twice? You know, what have I ingested? I thought, come on, bro. You took our colors. Don't try to take our colors and try to remix them to make a new uniform. I know when y'all hijacked the style when I see it, and they hijacked our style. If y'all see the Cardinals uniforms on Sunday, they took our whole swag. I don't like it.
That's hilarious.
And hold on. I got one I want to end with, but I'll let you go. I got a good one.
All right. So my first underrated man is streaming services, dude. Like being able to stream stuff. Like I think we take that shit for granted. At least I think we do. And Joe, I'm not sure how old you are, buddy, but going back and, you know, like and my kid always laughs at me because I'm like, back in my day when I started saying shit like that. But I'm like, dude, my man, you don't know. Like if I wanted to watch a game and I wasn't going to be home because of a reason, like I had to go find a VCR tape that was not already recorded over 16 times, you know, and set that to record, you know, and then like have to come home and do it. Like to be out, like, yeah, I was out yesterday and to have the NFL app and be able to just go on to Red Zone and just like, anytime you want them. Like, dude, this is amazing. So
remember when we had to go look at movie times in the newspaper to figure out when we wanted to, when we could go watch them, you know,
all the time. Yeah. Well, we could go to this show. And then like, even yesterday, like we were laughing, going down to McDonough. We were like, my wife, she was like, man, imagine if we had the printout directions now, we'd be screwed. We'd just be sitting there in traffic all day in the morning. Exactly. There's only one way to get there. So it's just like, we could go on a whole list of there. But yeah, I just thought that yesterday. I was like, man, this is great. They can catch everything. All right, Mike, sorry.
Oh, I just want to end it with this. Man, I really hope, I really want y'all to hear me. I hope that y'all have an internal sense of right and wrong. That's just to you. Because it's a group of people out here, and it's growing, of people who don't even have that. Instead, it's is it beneficial or not? You know, and you can't be thinking like in your life, it's going to hurt you if you're thinking that way. You have to know if something is right or wrong. Who cares if it's going to add to you or take? It's who cares? Is it right or wrong? That should be the funnel you funneling all your thoughts and your actions and your behavior through. It should not be if it's advantageous, if it's beneficial, it should not be going through that. Man, is this advantageous or not? There are people, because that's some cold shit. You have become evil when you become that person. Is this advantageous for me or not? Because that's all I'm thinking about. You're going to start hurting everybody around you, and you won't even notice it. So you cannot be that person that's just so, hey, is this beneficial? Because I'll do it if it benefit me. And I'm not thinking of it past that. You can't think of it that short. You got to be thinking it's something morally right. And you don't even have to think about that. It's a feeling. Like, you can feel if something is wrong or right. You can just preview it in your mind and kind of think, I shouldn't do that. I felt bad as soon as I kind of, oh, you know, stuff like that. So I just wanted to say that, like, it's too many of y'all. I feel like that it's just growing to where, man, I'll do anything if I benefit from it. I don't care who it shit on or who it, you can't be that type of person. It's, I'm going to tell you, it's going to backfire in the long run. It's temporary gain. But in the long run, if you see all the people who at the top, man, these people have been real to that, to the people around them for a long time. But these people have been honest. They've been loyal. And that build on itself. And you become great together. So that's the way that works. It don't work how you're operating. And I'm going to just snatch everything and try to swindle. Because as long as I benefit, if I could trick you, I will. If I could get you, I will. If I could get over, I will. If I could, you know, I will. You can't be thinking like that. It backfires in the long run. And it does make you feel like shit. I don't care how you win in that moment. It's going, you got to walk around with that all the time. The more right you do in your heart, the better you're going to feel on a moment to moment, day to day basis. You feel good all the time. It's like a free drug. So just do the right thing and you get high for free. I guess I would take the long way to say that. Just do the right thing. It's very important to me. I've been just watching stuff and I don't like when I be seeing how y'all treat each other sometimes or the stuff y'all doing. So you can't, but it is to your benefit. So I have seen, so I do understand the logic behind it. I'm just saying, dog, you going, that's not the way to go. Just trust me on this.
You know what I've noticed in my own life? When someone comes across who feels like very transactional, like they're just trying to, like, you know,
yeah,
make a
transaction is the word. Yeah.
It's so good. Like, I notice it so easily. And I feel like people, like, if you do that, like, people know. People realize whether they tell you or not.
Tell you or not. Joe just said it. It's just that the people not telling you, but everybody can see the type of person you are. It's going to worsen your experience gradually over time instead of improving. Just listen to me. Trust me.
Love that.
Out of your falcon mind. I mean, where else do you end it on those hallmark notes? Give me my props, man. This should go. Come on, man. Out of your falcon mind. You see how we took you to the loss. We took you through improvements. We took you through sorrow. Now you trauma bonded to us.
Now you're screwed. Out of your falcon mind. Now you're screwed every week, twice a week. Now, Joe, do you have underrated or anything, bud?
Yeah, underrated is hot water.
Hot water.
Hot water. Now, explain, what do you mean, sir, by that?
You guys like taking a cold shower? Like, damn.
Oh,
nice to have hot water, hot running water, man.
That's very true.
I can tell you guys are taking it for granted already. The way you react,
I was. Like, looks good about hot water.
Right.
Like, I don't like hot water. It's great for coffee. I love it for coffee.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Never take your utilities for granted. Never take.
Yeah, that's great. Oh man, you mentioned pound for pound earlier. Which when JR was on our show, like I think they were like our first guest when we started doing this, and they came in hot, man. They're over, like, JR's overrated was Chick-fil-A, Toby's overrated was Beyonce, and we were like, holy
they
shit,
caused the promotion.
Like,
yeah,
it was, yeah. So it was crazy.
Yeah.
Oh man, love, yeah. Now, I'll do my last one, man. It's kind of, I don't know, maybe it's both, but so my wife works from home. I mostly work from home. Mike, you kind of work from home. Mm-hmm. It can be overrated at times because you've got to set a schedule or like at least, because there's like customers, and Mike, you know, you'll get emails all times of the day at mm-hmm. night, you know, because like there's got to be a time where you just like, okay, that's it. Like, I'm done, mm-hmm. you know, like, because there'll be times, you know, command will be on the laptop at 6 p.m. like 6:30, 7 p.m. like, no, like, it's, you gotta shut that shit off. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like
that's what makes you depressed when you're working like that.
It will make you depressed.
Yeah, man. I was like, no, that's, you know, and same thing. I've gotten to where, like, a certain time, like, I'll make sure, like, that's it, no more. I'm not gonna answer another email. I'm not gonna answer another text. Like, because you guys just think of it, if you're at work, like an actual go to work, like, you leave, that's it. That's, you're done. Yeah. You know, you're not doing any more of it. And so before you know it, you're, you know, you're working a lot more than you probably should be, you know, mm-hmm. and not taking time out for what you need to be taking time out for. So, yeah, so that to me, I mean, you know, it takes a while if when you first start working at home to kind of get that balance. But, man, if you don't get that balance, you're going to find yourself in a lot of not a very happy lifestyle. Yeah.
But even if it's how I do, like, I got to stop partying and I got to do this work for 5 hours because I'm going to get evicted if I don't earn some money. Like, let me put this to the side and, you know, do some work.
I mean, it's also great too, because, you know, like today I'm working and I'm watching the game as well. Like, I've got the game on next to me and I'm, you know, I'm able to multitask. So there's things obviously you can't do at a workplace that you can do at home. Seriously. So, I mean, it works both ways, but yeah, you just got to have that balance. I guess balance is probably the big underrated balance. There you go. That's it.
Underrated. Joe's voice. I say we put it on Madden.
Really?
You put it like, you know, that the dude that say, it's in the game. That's the B Joe. That's the Joe, man. I'm telling
that's
you.
Awesome.
So we gonna swap them out. Boy, call me.
That's hilarious.
I got it.
Oh man. All right. Well, guys, I think we covered most everything we wanted to cover. I mean, you know, any loss that we have, I can guarantee you it's gonna be talking about Arthur Smith and Desmond Ridder. Almost every time.
Yep.
It's because, I mean, it's going to come up every time. It is. I mean, because at least up to this point, because the defense hasn't given us a reason to put any blame at all on them. I mean, they've done what they can do. Actually, somebody did tell me yesterday when we were at the restaurant that the defense, they thought the defense, you know, it was doing good, but, you know, they could do better. And I was like, no, you can't even start there. Like, we can't even like that's. I mean, what the defense is doing now, we can't even say that any of this is really on them. Their first year together, and they're coming out like they're doing what they need to do to make stops and give the opportunities to the offense. So that's not even a thing. So, but yeah, I mean, this is going to be, you know, we just hope next week it's going to be more progress, man. That's just what we got to hope to see. And we get a win, obviously, in the division, which is important. You take that first place, and everybody's going to be feeling a lot better, you know? So, I mean,
John and Joe, before we leave, I do want to ask both of y'all, do y'all think, well, man, Liam said,
Liam just is underrated. That's my son.
Wow.
Wow, dude. Man.
So I do want to ask y'all both before we leave. Do y'all think that it is possible that what the vibe that we had when the season started, that, man, bro, this team can be really good. Is that still on the table, or do y'all think that is completely off the table at this point?
I think it's still on the table.
Me too. I think the toughest part
now,
of your,
now y'all. Yeah. See, this is how we want to end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Toughest part of your schedule is over with.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these are all very winnable games.
Yeah,
I mean,
the rest of the schedule is as easy as it gets, honestly. Like, I mean, every game in the NFL is hard, but, man.
The best quarterback we're going to face is Kirk Cousins, probably.
But do y'all have faith in the team and the coaching that you know, that
I do, damn it.
Pan out to be great?
Yes.
Yeah. Same here. I don't care what all my criticisms. Yes. I still think that we're going to run the table and we won't lose again. And I'm not even being funny. That's just the way I think.
Yep.
Out of your Falcon mind.
There you go. Lisa said Liam here. He has great hair. Like I said before, it's amazing. Yeah. I'm glad he got his mom's hair. Mine sucks. So, you know, I'm glad he didn't come with the – yeah, it's not no good. But anyway, Joe, man, thank you so much for hanging out
with us.
Thank you, Joe. This was so much fun.
Yeah, man. So gotta come back soon.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
After maybe a win or two or three or four. Yeah. And so we can get some positivity going. But anyway, guys, we appreciate you all for checking us out tonight as always. We will be back on Thursday, and we do have two guests on Thursday. We'll put that on our social media later on. But appreciate you, Jordan, man. Have a good one.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, Lisa, appreciate you as always. Thank you. But yeah, we'll be back Thursday at 7 p.m. Like I said, we'll have two guests on, two new guests. So, that they also, I'm not going to say it yet, but they have a new, Falcons pod as well. Two great young dudes, man. So we're looking forward to having them on. We'll be talking Buccaneers. We'll be talking Baker Mayfield, and we're going to let him actually beat us. Hopefully not. So we'll have all that to go over on Thursday. And as always, guys, make sure you hit the like button for us. If you're watching this on YouTube, it's helped the channel keep growing, get out to more Falcons fans. Share it, subscribe if you haven't already. We did top 1,000 last week, as I think we said in the last show. So we appreciate everybody for getting us there. And we're just going to keep growing, man. If you want any merchandise, bonfire.com/ out of your Falcon mind, you'll find shirts, hoodies, all shapes and sizes are there. So feel free to check that out. And then, as always, man, make sure you check out Variety Sports. Like I said at the beginning of the show, check out some of the new shows they have going on there. And that's it, man. So, Joe, anything from you before we get out of here, buddy?
No, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at JAPatrick200. And honestly, the most important thing is I'm on 929 The Game's pre-game show. So every morning from 9 to 11, every Sunday morning, you can hear me and Harper LaBelle and John Fricke talk about the game. So if you're on your way down to Mercedes-Benz Stadium or something that early, turn us on.
Yeah, man. And I, when Mike and I, we drive around a lot for our job. So 929's on all the time. So nice. Yeah, we appreciate you guys.
It's football season, 929.
Yeah, right.
Joe, would you do the Falcons one, Joe, if they called you to do it? Would you do it?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Pre-game?
Yeah,
he
oh,
does,
yeah.
He does. Oh, he does. That's what he's talking about. He does the Falcons pre-game.
It's not the technically Braves. The Falcons radio right, yeah. network. Oh, yeah, yeah. So.
I know what you mean. I got you. Yeah, yeah, I got you. I got yeah. you. Yeah, yeah.
No, I would absolutely take a job in the Falcons.
Call Joe. Yeah. Come on, off the blank.
Call yeah, Arthur, Joe. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man. So, yeah, anyway, like I said, we appreciate you guys. Joe, thanks again, man. And Mike.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, dude, obviously, it's great.
Out of your Falcon mind. Peace.